Italy.com.
Welcome to How to Tour Italy with your host, Anthony Capozzoli. Anthony's passion for Italy is contagious. His dream is to bring Italy to life for people everywhere and to help them embrace the wonderful Italian lifestyle at home. Now, with How to Tour Italy, let's welcome travel expert, guidebook author, photographer, and radio host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Anthony Capozzoli for the How to Tour Italy radio show, and we have a really cool show packed up for you today. We've got lots of guests, actually, and not so much commentary from me, which may be good, may be bad, depending on how you look at it. I'm excited. The title of this week's show is The Italian Language at Its Most Beautiful. All roads lead to Rome and some old friends. And we'll be talking with Miss Diane Hales about her new book to be released on May 12th, titled La Bella Lingua, My Love Affair with Italian, the World's Most Enchanting Language, and I happen to agree with her. Then we'll be joined by another great author, Rich DeSilvio, to talk about his great book, The Winds of Time, and how the Romans set the foundation for our society today. And then to wrap things up, we'll be talking with my friends, Kathy McCabe of Dream of Italy and Janice Mancuso of 31 Days of Italians. And I do want to make a quick announcement before we get Miss Diane Hales on the line, that Angels and Demons is going to be released on May 15th, which is very, very cool. We have, I'm actually really excited about this because I did think that the Da Vinci Code was excellent. I'm more excited about Angels and Demons because, well, it's set in Rome, first of all, and all those sites are very, very cool to me and very familiar to me, and I'm excited about what kind of excitement that stirs up for travelers. And I know that lots of my friends out there that do walking tours are excited because they're going to be providing walking tours to all of those sites that are covered in the book Angels and Demons. So that's very, very cool. And I wanted to add that I will be doing walking tours as well for Angels and Demons to show you all the sites, and not necessarily take it as a Professor Langdon perspective, but talk about it historically and culturally, a little bit about the artists that created some of those sites and what they mean. I do want to say that I do have some experience with a couple of the main sites in the book, and it's interesting to me that to be drowned in Piazza Navona in the Fountain of Four Rivers would be quite a feat, considering it is absolutely overrun with people day and night, and to be able to get away with that and had anyone even step in to stop someone being beat to death and drowned in the piazza is quite funny to me, because I mean, literally, it would be like if you were in Chicago, it would be like this happening in the Daily Center. If you're in New York, this would be like something happening at like 55th and Park. So it's quite funny to me, but I suppose it could happen technically because the water's deep enough. However, it escapes me, but they're there's Tom Hanks. That's what it was. I couldn't think of the actor's name who's starring in the movie. I apologize. But Tom Hanks. It was funny. I was in Siena last year, and I saw Mr. Tom Hanks at the Palio in Siena. I assume he was filming the movie because his hair looked exactly the same as it did in the Da Vinci Code, so I'm assuming he was there filming Angels and Demons. He was walking around with a little, a messenger bag and a bottle of wine in his other hand, kind of just drinking from the bottle. It was great. So I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, "Hey, what's up, man?" To Tom Hanks. And he kind of turned around. He's like, "You're American." And I'm like, "So are you." and that was about the total of the exchange. But I can at least say that's my star moment right there with Mr. Tom Hanks. So it's pretty cool. And I'm really looking forward to the movie because I thought the book was wonderful. Actually, I thought it was better than Da Vinci Code. So my producers give me the thumbs up. I think that Dave Olson agrees, which is pretty cool because I think it's very well written, and I'm excited to see how they use the beautiful city of Rome in context for this awesome movie. So May 15th, don't forget, go check it out. And if you go to apple.com, by the way, you can see some very, very cool trailers in iTunes and on the apple.com main page. So definitely check those out. Download them to your iPhone or your iPod Touch. Check those out too. So with that, I am very happy to welcome my friend Diane, who is going to be talking about her awesome book. Diane, how are you?
Molto bene.
Very good. I'm so glad that you were able to join us, and your book is going to be released here on the 12th. Is that on May 12th, right?
Yes, we're counting down the days.
That is wonderful. So, well, do me a favor, if you wouldn't mind, telling everybody a little bit about your book and some of your inspiration so that people can get as excited about it as I am. I can't wait to read it.
Well, I many years ago, I went 1983 to be exact. I went on my first trip. It was a business trip to Italy, and I only knew one sentence, which is "Mi dispiace, non parlo italiano." I'm sorry, I don't speak Italian. And so wherever I went, I would repeat this, and I got so good at saying it that people would, of course, respond with rush of Italian telling me, no, you speak beautiful Italian. It's just perfect. And I was so frustrated because I was surrounded by the beauty of Italy, by the the vivacity of its people, and I was deaf and dumb in the sense that I could not understand, I could not make myself understood. And so I decided at that very moment that I was going to learn Italian. But then life intervened.
Right.
I have a family, I have a job, I write textbooks, I'm a journalist, and so it took many years, but all along I studied Italian every way you can think of. I studied it with CDs in the car. I took classes. I took seminars. I went to Italy to study. I studied in my hometown of San Francisco. And all along, I looked at this as a sheer indulgence. I did it for no other reason than the love of the language. And it just sort of grew and grew, because the more Italian I knew, the more Italians I met. And they became my real teacher.
Sure.
So
That's true.
Going back to Italy for weeks at a time, as much time as I can sneak over there without my family noticing too much, every year since, around 1988. And what I've discovered is that just as you appreciate more of the art when you know a little bit of art history, you appreciate more of the food when you know a little bit about Italian cuisine, you appreciate more of everything when you know a little bit about the language. But it's very hard to learn a language. So what I decided to do was to write a book in English on Italian. I believe it's the first one ever. And it tells the story of Italian, which is a great, rollicking tale. It also traces Italian through all the things we love about Italy, through opera, art, music, film, love, and that very special language called La Parolaccia, which is the naughty language
right.
in Italy. And so what it is if you don't have time to learn the Italian language, you can still learn enough about it that you will, whenever you go to Italy, whenever you think about Italy, it'll give you another reason for the sparkle in the eye.
That's wonderful, and I am so excited to get my hands on it, and I know it's going to be just a wonderful debut for the book, and I'm sure it's extraordinarily well-written. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I know that you've been well-received in Italy as well. Haven't you been asked by some different societies and organizations out there to come and speak about the book and about the language?
That's right, and it's actually, I had great trepidation because I thought, what chutzpah to borrow another language for an American, and I am not of Italian heritage, to write a book about Italian. And so I thought, I don't know if the Italians are going to welcome this. And what I found, and I over the years I have interviewed the top linguists in the country. I've gone to the Accademia della Crusca, which is their bastion of Italian language, and I've interviewed the people at La Sapienza and in Siena.
Nice.
and in Florence, and every one of them, for one thing, they so love the language that they are Italians are so proud of this wonderful legacy that they have that they're delighted to share it. And they were also just plain flattered in the sense that someone, and they know how Italian is hard for Italians, because
right.
people grow up speaking more of the dialect, the local language, and then they go to school and study what's called it. But my teacher in Florence used to always say, Italian standard. and so much more than English speakers, they have to really work at acquiring their language, and so they know how hard it is, and they really respect that. And the response I've gotten there has been so warm, so wonderful. And through a friend of a friend, I was put in touch with Roberto Benigni, the actor.
Nice, that's wonderful. I've actually, not to interrupt, but I saw him. I took classes in Chicago at a Talladega, and Roberto Benigni came and did a presentation and a reading from Dante Alighieri's Inferno. And it was wonderful to meet him. He was as lively in life as you would think he was from all of his wonderful movies. So I not to interrupt. I apologize. Please continue.
No. But he will be touring the United States, selected cities, doing his Tutto Dante show, which I saw in Rome. So I think your listeners might be interested. I know he's coming to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I know he's coming to Boston and New York. I'm not sure he should go to Chicago, but
sure.
At any rate, he's coming in May, so you might want to check it out.
Definitely.
At any rate, I was walking with my husband in the Borghese Gardens in Rome one evening, and my little telefonino rang, and I was expecting a call from a friend of ours who's named Roberto. So I answered the phone and said, "Ciao, Roberto, come stai?" And this voice, not my friend, said, "Diana, come brava, how did you know my name?" And I thought, how do I know this voice?
Right.
And it was Roberto Benigni, who had heard that I was working on this book, and who said to me this wonderful thing. He said, "If you love my language, I love you."
That's so great.
Yes, and so that has been the response that I've gotten from the Italians. And what I think is important for your listeners is that, again, if you love the sound of the language, if you use a few words, if you ask, "How do you say this in Italian?" you're going to get such a warm response, and it's really going to enhance your experience wherever you go in Italy.
I agree 100%. I mean, it is a wonderful, beautiful language that after a glass of wine or two, it seems to just roll off your tongue wonderfully, because you kind of lose that nervousness that people kind of have bottled up. And I've been studying for quite a long time, and I still struggle, and there's words that escape me and exact formation of the sentences and the grammar and things. But you know what's great about it? When you're over there, and I think you'll agree with me, that when you start speaking, they are the Italians are very patient listeners,
yes.
They're very patient teachers, and they go out of their way to even feign understanding so that you're comfortable to continue speaking. And then they might say in English, "Well, you might want to use this word instead," and then go back to Italian. But it's wonderful. It's not like, and I don't want to disparage anyone's culture or language, but I found that in France they're a little bit more sticky about their language and protect it a little bit more in terms of they're very proud, and either you speak it or you don't. In Italy, they embrace you and want to make sure that you have fun trying, and they don't ever give you a hard time for that.
Well, I think that also goes back to their history, because Italy as a country is new. It's younger than we are. It's 1861 that it came together. And at the time, fewer than 10% of the people in Italy spoke Italian. They all spoke dialect, and
right.
Many of them were illiterate. And so you have generations and generations of Italians who had to learn. They became Italian like I did, word by word. And that's the title of my blog. And so it's it wasn't really until after World War II, when you had television come in and cinema, that Italian really was diffused throughout the whole peninsula.
Yeah, that's true. I know when my grandparents would speak to me in a very thick, dialect, I literally would have no idea what they would be saying, and I'd have to ask them in Italian politely, I'm not clear, or could you repeat that? And then my grandma would laugh and be like, "Oh, you don't understand dialetto." And so she would go back to standard Italian, as they say.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting about standard Italian is that it's a literary language. I mean, this was a language that a group of scholars and poets at the end of the Renaissance at the Accademia della Crusca got together and said, "Well, there's all these dialects. There are all these ways of speaking. Let's choose," and this is how they put it, "the most beautiful flowers." And so this was not a language that evolved. It was deliberately created to be beautiful. And I think, and it certainly is. And so they created the first vocabulario, which is more than a dictionary, just a compendium of words. And that was mainly used by writers. And so that you would have intellectuals who would write in this beautiful, poetic language, but speak always in dialect. And the nobles would speak in dialect, but they would read this other language. And so there has always been this sort of parallel system. And and it's why Italian, when I went to La Crusca and I was interviewing with great trepidation its president, and he said to me, we were standing in a room and there was a statue of Dante Alighieri, and he said, "If Dante were to come alive again and enter this room, you could speak with him. You could understand him." And I it just boggled my mind, because you couldn't go back. Back to the 13th century in England, I don't think that we would be able to communicate if we were in some sort of time machine. But that's how well preserved the Italian language is. And you feel sort of the accumulation of centuries of wisdom in it.
Oh, that's true. It is a delightful way to spend a vacation as well. I think that, like you mentioned, I would go and take different classes. And I spent 2 weeks, a couple, like last summer, I think it was, or was it 2 summers ago now? It escapes me, but at the Dante Alighieri School in Siena. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my favorite, some of my favorite time spent in Italy, because the morning was spent learning, obviously, Italian and embracing the culture and language through the language. And then we got to spend the afternoon on tours with the teachers and professors and local, you know, chefs and bakers and things. And it was just a wonderful way, all focused on the language, to really have a wonderful vacation. And like you said, they're also very proud. And if you show any interest at all, not just to the language, but to the culture, the art, and the history, they go out of their way to make sure that you are just having the time of your life.
Absolutely. And I think it's also that you cannot study the language without studying the culture. And
right.
So that I think that a lot of people, Americans in particular, are sort of traumatized by their high school language courses. And they think, oh, God, I remember that. I remember those verb drills and how all that grammar. Whereas when you're studying Italian, particularly in Italy, it's, you know, you're hearing these stories, these wonderful stories. You're reading Boccaccio, which is, you know, you're learning about Boccaccio. And Dante's stories are wonderful. And so what happens, even if you go to a cooking school and there's a language component of it, because you're learning the Italian words for foods. And it's never just words. It's always words plus meaning, plus history, plus people, plus stories. So I sort of think of my book as a 400 some page commercial for Italian.
Well, I can't wait. I literally cannot wait to get my hands on it. I'm very excited to get it. I'm going to use it as my guidebook and compendium as I travel Italy for the How to Tour Italy project this summer. And I am very excited to kind of dive in and read every page. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, I just got my first copy yesterday, and a molto, molto bello. I'm very happy with the way the book looks.
I'll bet. So how do people find your book? Where do they buy it? What's the price tag on it? That kind of thing.
All right. Well, of course, you can go to Amazon. There's the website there, and it is, and you can go to Barnes and Noble, and you can pre-order it both of those places, and it is $24.95, and then it also will be available at all your local bookstores. And while you're there, you will find I post my blog on the book page, so that when you go to the La Bella Lingua page at Amazon, just scroll down through all of the, you know, what other people bought,
mm-hmm.
and I do a blog called Becoming Italian Word by Word. You can click right on it there, and three times a week you'll find a little phrase that, again, will help you appreciate Italy and the Italian language a little bit more.
That is wonderful, and I am so very happy for you. It's such a wonderful, wonderful thing, and quite frankly, you're quite a seasoned author and have published many other books, so this is just another step along the way for you, but what a wonderful step it is.
It is indeed, and actually, I got a note from my agent, who's not unbiased, saying that after years of seeing me do work I like, how wonderful it is to see me do work I love.
That is fantastic. I love it. Well, Diane, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show today. We're going to go into a little bit of a break here, but I would love to have you back on the show to find out a little bit more about where you're going to be and where you're touring and checking on the success of your wonderful book.
Anytime.
Thank you so much. Ciao.
Ciao. A presto.
A presto.
Alla prossima.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Dreaming of renting a villa in Italy? Papavero Villa Rentals, your Italy experts, will make that dream come true. We specialize in Italy 100% of the time. It's our passion, and we love what we do. We're experts on travel to Italy, and we're here to help you plan the perfect trip. From the Italian Alps to the beaches of Sicily, we personally select each property to assure your comfort. We travel to Italy multiple times a year to inspect and revisit each property to assure your physical comfort as well. We thump the pillows, check the water pressure, and sleep in the beds. We know each property intimately and are happy to help you choose the one that best suits your desires. And we don't stop there. Our frequent trips to Italy enable us to arrange day tours and services, all pre-approved by us, so you can book with confidence. No matter what your dream may be, a stunning villa with staff on Lake Como, a country cottage in Tuscany, a chic apartment in Rome, or anything in between, trust your dream to Papavero Villa Rentals. Call us toll-free at 1-866-737-0000. That's 1-866-737-0000. Or visit us online at papaverorentals.com.